Are we providing any more services than we did 2 years ago?
I don't know. Rip, you want to speak to that? Because I think you can speak from the perspective of an affiliate. I don't know. You know, I think the AudioPort has gained value.
I think that there's more value than what it's a sliding scale of dues. So whatever you say about the value per station, it's different at different stations. So it's difficult to make a blanket summary of how the dues are. However, if we're gonna be wrestling forever with the foundation over, you know, how many thousands of dollars that they're complaining about, and it's been a changing finish line over the past couple of years dealing with the CFO on what it is that the affiliate program cost and when are they going to be happy about it. And so, you know, in looking at some of the sliding scale, you know, and the problem is I just got a federal grant, so it's hard for me to be prudent with my money, and I have it. So it was kind of easy for me to suggest that maybe a station should pay some amount, like $10 or some amount a day for the programming as a minimum. I wrote a private letter. It was the first part of what I thought would be a 10-part back-and-forth conversation, and it was extracted out of context, and now it's being spread around by Nicole that somehow I'm advocating a increase in dues. And you know, it just shows that there's no conversation going on. People are out there ready to vandalize people's conversations where they're having a conversation means you're saying things back and forth over a period of time. You may come to a conclusion, but evidently Nicole expects that every word someone says is a well thought out, you know, thesis on the matter. And I was kind of disappointed that this came around to Ursula in a form of a demand to raise dues. Okay, so it's much more complex than that simplistic type of suggestion that everyone's going to pay something more, because some stations I think provide a lot, just like Tampa provides a lot for free speech radio news in terms of probably more than whatever they benefit from that. Everything has to be looked at in context. Ursula is the one that knows everybody in the system. And so are we getting more services? I think it's much more valuable. The folks at my station don't like PRX. We get programming. We put programming up more than we get it, because AudioPort is a better service. And that comes from recommendations from my staff that has to work with it every single day. So there's more value than just Democracy Now. That's what brings in money for every station. And, generally speaking. So it's way more than that now that Pacifica has to offer. Thanks.
Also, I would add to that, it's not just or that there is a further contribution that the carrying of Pacifica programmers and publicizing the name Pacifica, giving the network visibility in places way beyond the five core stations. How do you put a price on that? And how does that figure into that relationship? So I would urge that would also be a part of the calculation when anyone tries to answer that question, Teresa.
Afia, this is Chandra. I just wanted to make one comment. The reason why I asked Cindy, who was on the call earlier, to write a letter to Nicole is because, you know, Pacifica is very insular. They don't know what's happening in the rest of the world. They don't know outside of the Pacifica network what's doing. And unless people that are direct beneficiaries of the affiliate program and those that benefited from Ursula's organizing around Radio for People, communicate the value that they have received by now having a station and getting a license. And Nicole doesn't know that. The board doesn't know that. Lonnie doesn't know that. Lonnie is still asserting that the affiliate program is running at a deficit and it's not meeting. It's costing more than it's bringing in. He's still making that assertion. So when you have people doing that, it has to come from outside. It can't come from within the network.
In addition to that, I think that that's one part of it. However, the concern that is also expressed and that is represented by the position that that the affiliates are basically consumers, or that the contribution of the affiliates is minimal, has to be put into the larger context. And that larger context is that that Pacifica's relationship with the affiliates is value added to Pacifica. It's not a one-way street. It's not just that an emerging station or an emerging community gets something from Pacifica, but that Pacifica also gets something from that community as well. So it's a relationship between equals, even though one may be first between equals. Do you see the point that I'm making?
I think it's great, and I hope you make that point a lot.
I do.
Great. Thank you.
Okay.
I want to say that the cost of living is going up everywhere, and I don't have anything fundamentally against asking stations to pay more if they can. I did not mean in any way to put you on the spot when I asked you that. And I apologize for sounding like that. I do think that there. My bigger concern is just whether we can really get it, because what I'm seeing is that the affiliates are having some of the same problems the Pacifica stations are having, and that it's just much harder for them to raise money now. And I'm not sure how much they can do. I mean, compared to NPR, we are still one hell of a deal. On the other hand, a lot of our clients could never even think about taking NPR, of our affiliates. And so I'm just concerned about whether the money is there right now, even if I ask for it. So
I'll tell you one thing that could help with raising extra or increasing dues for some stations, and that is if some stations felt that they were more of a part of the Pacifica family. Mm-hmm. And I know that there's a certain universal there's a philosophy about universal access, meaning everybody gets an equal place at the table. But it would seem that if some stations wanted to pay more, and also we're very closely related in terms of their mission and philosophy to the Pacifica model, and engaged a lot with the other stations in terms of playing a lot of the Pacifica programs, trying to feed back when asked, to do, coverage reports from their areas and those kind of things, that there be another level that stations could join at, could affiliate at. And maybe that could be useful in terms of resolving this big question about how affiliates representatives are brought in, that regardless of the size or budget of the station, it would be based on their philosophical relationship, but somehow they would be, and then there would be higher paying dues. Some of the stations just want to have that relationship where they're subscribing. But I think other stations want to actually participate more, and I know that the Affiliate Alliance does. So that's a way of somehow engaging that group in this process.
Okay. I would like to. I think that brings us to the next item on the agenda. I and I'd like to go to that point, and that is the subcommittee report, in that we have two subcommittees, one of which is to focus on the question of affiliate directorship eligibility and the role of the affiliate director. As I said earlier, Rip and Norm and I had an opportunity to talk at the Media Reform Conference, both of whom expressing an interest in helping to develop. Now we've got some whistling. Expressing an interest in helping to develop the effort to make sure that the person who is sitting on the PMB in the name of affiliates is in fact bringing forward the interest of the affiliates and making sure that it's integrated and a part of the ongoing priorities of the foundation. So I had agreed to having sent to Norm the documents with which we are working, which are from the Alliance, which was proposed bylaws and minutes from the last meeting that we had 2 weeks ago on the subject, and he has agreed to look at both and to give us feedback on his thinking of it, and that we notify him, put him on the listserv for the subcommittee, and to make sure that he's notified of the next meeting, and he will attempt to be on the call to join us in that effort.
Afia, this is Chandra. Maybe for those that don't know, I assume that you're referring to Norm Stockwell?
Ah, yes, I'm sorry.
So for people that don't know, he's from radio station WORT, and they were one of the first affiliates in Pacifica. And he's a long-term supporter of Pacifica Radio.
Madam Chair?
Yes?
Norm was just on our call last month. I would suggest that if we work with Norm, that we start in a subcommittee
that's precisely what I'm saying, that he has agreed. He wants copies because he doesn't have easy access to the Alliance documents that we worked from on the subcommittee call last week.
Mm-hmm.
So he's asking that they be sent to him, and he will attempt to be on the next subcommittee call.
Okay, so is there, well, you don't need the permission from this task force to do that, right? You're just informing us of what he's doing.
Exactly.
Madam Chair, can we proceed with the coordinator's report? Is that where we still are?
Yeah, our clerk said she was finished.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry, your secretary is behind. Somehow
is that correct, our clerk?
Yeah, I'm finished.
Okay. Pardon me, everyone. I'm still on the affiliates coordinator's report. I missed a sentence or two, I guess. Okay, forgive me.
No problem. Dina.
Yes.
Did you want to add something?
No. The only thing was that we had a meeting with Bear from KMUD, and at the end of the meeting, I can't think of her name.
Christine.
Christine, thank you. I was getting Kathy, and Christine came on the call. She misunderstood the timing of the call. But she did send all the materials from the Alliance, which is what Afia was discussing, which was the draft mission statement that never got completed. And that's what Norm Stockwell is really inquiring about. And also just letters, emails that were sent out to all station managers over the years where they're soliciting people to be who would be interested in running for the board.
Dina, this is Ursula. No, there's a few people in the meeting that are new. Perhaps you could explain why Baron Christine and what the point was so they understand what we're talking about.
Okay. I'm sorry. Baron Christine took it upon themselves as part of the Alliance group, which was formed back when we first got board approval to have representatives from the affiliate stations on the board. One of the things that Carol Spooner said was that alliances could, this is when the bylaws were first being formulated, that alliances could be formulated, which would, could be any group whose intention was to help help put the group together to find a means for representing them. And the alliance formed, and in the beginning there were less than a dozen affiliates, and now I believe there are many more. I don't know the exact number. And each year, their sole mission was to find representatives for the affiliate positions on the PNB. And one represented the West Coast and one represented the East Coast, and so they were, they put the search out in their areas and split the country up that way, more out of convenience than anything else. What has happened that we all know is that there were other means for people to join the board, and last year, all of their effort to bring two or three people as possible candidates, they weren't ignored by the board. That wouldn't be the word. But the board went ahead and brought both Afia and Lori on, neither of whom had come through the Alliance. And that's not necessarily a terrible thing. It's just a statement of fact. And so what we're looking at are several things on this committee. One is to write a proposal that would state that the affiliate task force would take on some of the responsibility because the Alliance is a group of I don't know if it's reached 20 affiliates or even if it reached 25 in number. We have about 135 affiliates, so it doesn't have the support of the total number of affiliates. And we felt that the affiliate task force, therefore, could reach out to the totality of the affiliates and become effective in making selection. In addition to that, we asked, or we're asking, or it's under discussion, I should say, that those people interested in sitting on the board would serve 1 year on the affiliate task force prior to sitting on the national board, similar to people who have to sit on the local station boards for 1 year before going on to the national board, as a means of getting experience and getting the lay of the land. Did I cover everything? Am I missing something, Afia?
I think that should be rounded out for everybody. If there's a new listener on, who have questions, we can entertain those questions at this time.
I guess there's only one other thing I could say, is that I had written Dave Adelson. I can send an email that he had sent on the complete way in which the board selected the PMB representative. But what we were interested in for this proposal was how he convinced the board to go around the bylaws and change the date from March to January. And his response in an email, which I sent to Ursula and Afia, who are on the subcommittee, was essentially that under extraordinary circumstances, you can change things, and this was one such occasion. If we seat board members in March, the affiliate board members never have an opportunity for chairing any committees or, in some measure, for selection of the committees. Whereas if they sit in January, it's an equal sitting for all new board members. And that was the purpose of that change. So I would submit to the subcommittee both of those Dave Adelson emails, which would give the complete information for the proposal, Afia.
Okay, and it's 9:35 at this point, so I guess he's not going to be able to come on.
Right.
So are there any other questions?
Madam Chair, I would like to say I commend you on making such headway on that committee, on the subcommittee.
Well, that's very generous and gracious of you. You have to thank my co-committee people, Nina in especially, and Bear, and Christine, getting us all started and moving forward. There is a meeting.
When is your next meeting?
June 18th at 6 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So if there's anyone who's interested, anyone else who's interested.
Come one, come all.
Absolutely.
That's June 18th, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
That's correct. Okay.
Which group is this that's meeting on the 18th?
That's the Affiliate Director Eligibility and Role Subcommittee.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're kind of playing around with the name, and we're trying to come up with a descriptive operational name so that when people hear it, they know what we're doing. So if they're interested, then they'll join us. The second subcommittee that we formed is one to define, to look at the definition of affiliate. What does it mean to be an affiliate? So if we could get, Teresa, if you could talk a little bit about that.
Well, we have not, and Madam Chair, we have not met since the last committee meeting, and I guess I need to pick up the momentum again. So I stated that I'm requesting a postponement to report on that until the July or August meeting and I'll try to get another meeting set up.
Okay.
Perhaps we can refresh the memory for everyone on the call by saying who's on this subcommittee. I know Dina and I think Afia and me and Ursula consult, correct?
That's correct.
It would be nice to have others join us.
Well, Dina, I tell you what, I'll try and call you this week to set up a meeting and maybe develop an agenda for it. How about that?
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Let's see, we've got another report from me. Oh, I think the next item is my answering questions regarding the March affiliate report to the PMB. regarding the percentage of affiliates paid. And you know what I did? You're still focusing on the question of who, of which affiliates paid and the percentage of affiliates that paid a maximal amount, moderate, and to fee waivers. Is that correct?
A statement was made at the Pacifica National Board meeting that made that to me came across as a little bit flippant, or and it made a comment about how few people were paying, and I don't think that's true. And I wanted to know what it was based upon.
Okay, I did a couple of things. First of all, was to go to the Pacifica Foundation.org website, and there is a section for board reports, minutes, and financial CFO reports. And I noted that the CFO report from the April meeting had not been posted. I'm not sure whether when it is posted, it will have the particular document to which referral was made. But the referral, the reference, a list of all of the affiliates and the fees that each affiliate was at least billed, if not having paid. So,
well, this is something that you personally, as a Pacifica director, received in your packet?
Correct.
And you're thinking that's what was referred to?
Correct.
Well, could you find the one that you received rather than looking for it on the website?
Yeah, I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you want me to do? Do you want me tell you what the name of it is, or
number one? My feeling is this: number one, as a member of the public and as a member of this task force, when a director makes a comment in a public meeting that says something about a percentage of people fulfilling their contracts and payment, I want to make sure that it's true, because what she said just did not seem to fit the information that I've been given. That's one thing, because we need to be really careful that facts that we make statements about this program are true, because I don't know whether directors make decisions based upon that or the executive director. So that's one thing. And the other thing is I just wanted you to check the facts.
Yeah.
For future reference, I don't want anyone making a comment like that unless we're sure it's true. So I'm asking you to look in your paperwork and see if it's true.
Well, I can tell you. Go ahead. I hear a second voice or a third voice.
Yeah, this is Ursula. I can tell you the facts right now. I have the charts in front of me. In this past year, of all the contracts we had, 19 contracts out of, I think, 134 or 5 were for no fees. Out of those 19, 4 are international stations who really don't fit in, you know, who I just didn't make sense. Like, we have 2 in Africa and 1 in El Salvador and 1 in Zurich. And so 4 of those are the international stations. One of those is gone. They just, don't exist anymore. They were provisional. One of those is a station which has a contract with Democracy Now, which allows them to finish their year free trial with Democracy Now, after which on September 1st they will go from paying zero to paying $12,500. And 2 of the stations are stations that were formerly paying that have fallen into, natural disasters or whatever. One lost their tower, another one had another disaster, and so they temporarily have been, have been given, you know, we're not going to kick them out of the network because they, you know, the FCC took away their tower. So they are basically on hiatus because they're in hardship. That leaves 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 stations that have zero contracts for other various reasons. And that's what happened this year. Now, a fair number of the ones that in the last category, the seven I think I said were left, made it clear that, you know, what happens a lot of times is that contracts are made during the year, and really the windfall is in September or in October when the contracts roll over. So it's not uncommon if a station is due and it does not have a lot of money that for, you know, the rest of this contract year, they'll have a trial contract, and then in September we'll start to pay. So a number of those will roll over that way and begin become paying stations. I don't know the exact number. But that is exactly what we're talking about. So does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Very thoroughly.
This is Rick Robbins.
Okay, let me add that the second point to that, when the comment was made at the TNB meeting, was one of many occasions when I talked about the basis of the affiliate relationship was not exclusively the payment of money, and that in those instances in particular was a matter of enhancing the Pacifica name and brand by those stations, along with all others, carrying Pacifica programming and giving Pacifica visibility in areas where it would otherwise not be visible or have a presence. So it was a further example of value added as represented by the affiliate's programming or program. Rip?
Yes. What I wanted to say was that at the meeting with the FIA and Norm, all three of us really agreed that a contract trial period for a station getting started with fundraising and so forth really does need to be a full year. And so I really do support and think the task force could also support that the trial periods be really given in increments, but Ursula should determine the length of those, whether it's 10 months, whether it's 12 months, whether it's even 18 months, that it's up to the coordinator who can find out and verify the status of the local station, that in the trial period consideration, there needs to be some flexibility. But we all agreed that 6 months, or I really think anything less than a year, is not enough time for a station to build the audience and revenue streams to sustain operating costs, so that the full year of trial period is certainly viable. And that's what I would support.
Fia, may I speak?
Please.
This is Ursula. I appreciate you saying that, Rip. I do want to clear up an urban myth, though. I never offer a free trial period offhand to new affiliates. Democracy Now! Does that. It's never been, you know, a practice which I had. What happens a lot is that the year is about halfway over. You know, basically, you know, at this time of the year, I'm so busy renegotiating contracts with our former affiliates that there's not a lot going on with new affiliates. New affiliates usually come in, you know, in January or as the year progresses. And so it is common that if a station is, you know, wavering or undecided, then, you know, it is, I will say something like, you know, you can try it out for the rest of this fiscal year if you start with a contract in October. That's a very common thing. But the idea of a year-long trial period has never been part of the language of this program. it is a language of democracy now. It has a, it has turned out to be an effective marketing strategy for them, and maybe we should do it. But I just this seems to come up a lot, you know, with my man, you know, with my director as well. But we, that's never been my practice. So I mean, I appreciate what you're saying, though, Rip. But I also want to clear up that there is really never been an issue there with that.
Well.
Hello?
Did you want to respond to that, Rip?
Oh, well, oh, I agree. I think Ursula's got all good points there. I mean, I remember she brought this up even back in 06 in saying that DN was offering this free trial, and how can we, you know, so kind of compete with that? I mean, we should be able to offer the same thing. I mean, she's right, and it's just that, and I think it's good that on the stream and on the call that she clarifies those matters, but I don't think it, I think the main point that I was putting out there is that she should be the one to offer, if there is a way to bring in an affiliate early in the game while they're building revenue and audience, that there be some flexibility with that, because the goal is to get the word out more, and the goal is to try to build this movement that people everywhere desperately want, and the more outlets that Pacifica can harness, not just for Democracy Now! Or some shows that they feel they don't own, but they also develop audiences for Pacifica shows. I mean, I carry the Archives program and Sprouts, and, you know, we're just open to adding more of this programming if we can. And so I just think that Pacifica should have that feeling. Now, when budgets are tight, people get really ornery about this stuff, but you can't just put your philosophy away because for a minute. I mean, that's what this—that's what the oppressors want. They want people so preoccupied with the daily cost of the bills that they don't bother to engage in the long term and bigger pictures.
Okay. So, does that answer your questions, Teresa?
That is a very good answer to my question, and I think that we should make this information known to the executive director and make it clear to the CFO that, to our knowledge, or at least to my knowledge at this point, I think our coordinator is on top of the situation. I remember couple years back visiting a station in a more remote area of Texas, and they were providing a tremendous service to the community on an all-volunteer staff, built the station from the ground up, basically from scraps, and just a phenomenal, I mean, a program that compared, in my opinion, to the station in Houston. And they had a much smaller community to draw the money from. And I know that every station, and we will get more of these as we bring in stations for more rural areas, their base to draw the money from to pay for these, you know, to pay for towers and such, is going to be provide more challenges. I think that the executive director needs to be clear that, as Rip said, we are more than just a cash cow. And as you had same thing as you had stated, Afia. So I'm hoping that somehow we can convey this information to our executive director and reiterate to our CFO when they don't correct things like that, like statements like that. And I'm hoping that the maybe we need to provide a report to the directors so they're aware of it too. But this misinformation is not only bad PR, but it, you know, when directors have to make decisions based upon misinformation, that's really not good for the foundation.
Okay, well, we need to figure out what's the best way to convey that message. I mean, obviously, I can do it in the quarterly meeting, assuming the next in-person meeting, but there may be a better way, a shorter-term way of doing it. In fact, given the situation at this point in time, it may even be better to do it. So maybe you and I can talk.
Madam Chair, I would like you to send a letter or a report, basically with the information that Ursula has given us, and I'll be happy to help write it, something to the effect, maybe Rip would like to provide some information, basically saying, you know, we have this many affiliates, they bring in this amount of money.
It's a fact sheet.
Yes. And explain briefly some information like what just Ursula just provided. Like there were some comments made at the last PNB meeting about a percentage, the questions raised about the percentage of those that paid, and briefly provide that information to the directors so they have the facts. Can we do that?
I would add that it should be posted on all listservs as well. As I just sent something to Ursula yesterday or the day before from a listserv where, again, there's misinformation being spread.
Well, did you send that to me also?
I didn't send it to you, but I can look in my sent emails and send it off to you for sure.
That would be helpful.
What kind of misinformation, Dina?
Statement that, you know, many of the affiliates don't pay.
Okay, well, if you'll send that to me, then we will address that immediately.
It's misinformation, and it just, there needs to be a fact sheet posted on all listservs that we, between all of us, we know the listservs, because not everybody's a member of all the listservs, but we could, one of the suggestions would be to make a list of all listservs and put a fact sheet out on who the affiliates are, period, at this moment in time.
You know,
go ahead.
Madam Chair, I think we need to be careful in how much detail we give this information to people on listservs, because you can give a person 10 bits of information, and if their mindset is that it's negative, they'll take the one thing and run with it that can be misinformed. I was just looking at something from like a year ago, and somebody said, well, KPFK has never done as well as when so-and-so was general manager, and David Adelson cleared that information up. But we need to be careful, especially if we're giving information about percentages of people that are fulfilling their contracts. I think we have to be somewhat careful about the detail that we provide.
I think that we've gone about as far as we can go with this on this call. And so I would again propose that you and I spend some time talking about this, and then maybe we could come up with a response. I'm not sure whether we want to do a draft and then circulate it among the task force for feedback and then have it go to, I think the board chair is with the copy to the executive director and CFO is the appropriate.
The board format. Chairs or the directors? What do you mean by board chair?
Well, it was a statement that was made at the PNB.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the board chair, the PNB chair, was chair of the meeting. So it could be addressed to the chair of the PNB with copies to the directors as well as the ED and CFO. But let you and I talk about that in the next couple of days.
I will try to do that, Madam
okay.
Chair.
All right, the next, we're into ran to the new business Radio for People. Was there something in particular that we needed to talk about or to report, have a report brought forward?
Madam Chair, this is Teresa. I'm the one that put this on there. I would like people on this task force to know what Radio for People is, and I would like to know how we are proceeding with Radio for People. Are we still participating in it anyway? And where is it at? Because I know that there are many people that were assisted in applying for licenses with the Radio for People project last year, and I think that I would like to know, I would like to be informed of their progress. I feel that those are like our little baby chicks, and they are potential affiliates for us. So I'd like to know how that program is doing and who's, you know, how are we assisting with it?
Can you say anything about that, Ursula?
Some people don't know that a lot of the people that worked with Pacifica, while they were applying their licenses, had a weekly conference call, which was kind of a drop-in support group. And these guys have stuck together, a lot of them, since the application ended, because it's a long process before they, you know, a lot of these people get granted their application. So they've continued to meet on a weekly basis. We have moved the call away from Pacifica conference call line so that there's no expense to the network. It's on another conference call line. And they have continued to meet, and they've moved into developing a self-help series of teach-ins on business and finances and marketing. Most of them are waiting for the FCC to make rulings on their licenses. So while they're waiting, they want to train themselves in business matters. They've asked me to provide them sometimes with speakers. They wanted to speak to station managers. So I've been asking some affiliates to lead some of these telephone calls. On Monday, the development director of WMNF in Tampa, Florida, is going to give a teach-in on their very successful off-air fundraising efforts. And later in the month, Terry Green, who is KUSP in Santa Cruz, will do a teach-in on, he's calling it organizing for success, structural organizing for success in the station, and also on underwriting. He has a really relatively developed underwriting structure. So it's kind of a cool thing. I have notified all of the affiliate GMs in the network and invited them to be part of the conference calls if they'd like, because it's relevant information to everybody, really. So that is going on. I'm not really organizing it. I'm assisting them by bringing people to them that could be useful.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, I actually have been asked by Nicole to stop participating in Radio for People. So I guess that's it.
What was Radio for People? Who organized it?
Originally. You're asking me?
Yes. Who organized it originally?
Radio for People was a mutual coalition between various media democracy groups, NFCB, Prometheus Radio Project, Public Radio Capital, a number of people involved with community radio. I think that Pacifica initially got involved with it because Prometheus Radio Project came to Pacifica and asked them to work with them on the project, and I think that's how it got initiated with us. And so, it was just a mutual effort on everybody's part. I think most organizations also saw it as an organization growing, building opportunity for their own organization.
Well, did the groups that were involved in this, did they apply for grants? Do they not, like Prometheus, are they not continuing their work having applied for grants? And maybe we didn't do that because you were told last year to kind of hold off and keep holding off. I mean, There were a couple people that, didn't we have a grant? We had people that were helping people.
Yeah, well, at the NFC meeting 2 years ago in New Orleans, Greg Gumo was there. You were there too, Rip, right? Weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of walked in with a posse, and it turns
right.
out that Greg Gumo is really good at handling situations like that, and so we made a big splash, and we got a $10,000 grant from Public Radio Capital to do the Radio South project. So you know, since that's what Cindy was part of. So we did get a grant to do that.
And Ursula, the reason that Pacifica was invited in, and I think that there may have been a little bit of wonder about whether Pacifica would do it on the part of a couple of the constituent or members of that group there, they knew about recent struggle. You know, to some people, the struggle over in 2000 was kind of still going on. It's almost like people thought it was just kind of yesterday that it happened. And so, but Pacifica was invited to the table because of the belief that the Pacifica network reached so many people out there that the word would spread, and the efforts of all those people, the kind of people that are Pacifica people, would help spread that opportunity that Prometheus was promoting and putting that coalition together. So there was Pacifica in a very small group, a very nationally influential folks on this matter, and it's because of what the Pacifica name meant. And that's why Pacifica needs to be at these progressive media organizations with the hope that things are going to turn around financially. And it's no reason to, like, turn off the lights and close up the store just because there's a tight budget this year. And,
Actually, if I could add to that, in the very beginning, again, Ursula was there. And, in fact, at some of these meetings, there were opportunities to network, to fundraise with some big fundraising people who attended the organizing meetings. So we're missing out on opportunities of getting grants to do the work.
Well, and that money, let me tell you, at this media conference, Dennis Moynihan was wearing a brand new green suit, matching suit. You know, I've never seen him wear a suit. I mean, he was obviously schmoozing for money, and so there must have been big money there at the show.
And Ursula has been following that from the beginning, but what's happening is she's being pulled off of and pulled back from all the initiatives that she actually started.
That really, well, going back to Radio for People, it really concerns me that we had demonstrated leadership. And when we demonstrated that leadership, we got a grant. We got name recognition. We got people depending upon us. We got people talking us up. We have so much potential for new affiliates, which is money in the bank. And I want us somehow to continue. So I'm wondering, what is the plan for us to somehow continue that work? Because I think we were successful at it.
Well, I think we have to write a letter to the ED and state our case.
I think that should it be to the ED, or should it be a part of the larger letter that we were just talking about, the value of affiliates, and other part of that discussion is the growing and nurturing of and development of affiliates is represented by Radio for People.
Well, I agree. You said that letter should go to the chair of the board and I guess I'm assuming the ED. If we need to include that in the letter, then we should do that.
Yeah. Not just the chair of the board, the whole board.
Well, it would be addressed to the chair with copies to the whole board.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
And then with copies also to the executive director and the CFO?
Correct.
Okay.
Ursula, how many people were on Radio for People that were part of the weekly calls and that Pacifica actually had a hand in helping?
I think that when the end, we kind of tried to do a count at the end, and I think we came up with 60 groups. You mean applicants, right?
Yeah.
I think we came up, our tally was about 60, but it was kind of hard to tell because a lot of it, you know, there was a lot of, we came up with 60.
Well, what would happen if we asked those 60 people to write letters on our behalf?
Okay, wait a minute. First of all, it's 10:10, and I have another call that I have to get on. That's the first thing. The second thing is that if we're going to develop some kind of campaign, then we need to be clear about what the campaign is and what its purpose is. Now, what we have discussed at this point is developing a letter of concerns, one of which has to do with an apparent misimpression of who's of the affiliacy and who's paying and who's not paying and how do we correct that. The second is maintaining a role, leadership role in the direction of the development of the media reform movement generally and most specifically the development of opportunities and for acquiring licenses and development of stations that do acquire them. I think that if we're going to go beyond simply stating what those concerns are, then that needs to be an agenda item. That's on the next call, and we can develop them. If the affiliate definition people, subcommittee people want to take that on and to begin talking about it, developing ideas around that for reporting at the next call, it seems to me that would be appropriate. But we cannot go off on another discussion about that at this point.
Okay.
So does the affiliate definition people want to take that on, or do we just want to add it as an agenda item for the next call, the next full call, monthly call?
Let's add it as an agenda item. Is it possible to see if the definition committee can get to it?
Sure.
And if not, we would put it on the agenda?
That's fine.
Well, Dina, would you please be sure to bring this up to my attention when we set
when we talk, and if we get a chance to, we will, and otherwise it'll be on the agenda.
Because I'm still not quite understanding what item we're talking about putting specifically in the agenda. Okay.
Put the word campaign down.
Okay.
Okay, now we have a half a remaining. New business, fundraising, which at this point we cannot go into, and preparation for inviting the ED to the July affiliate task force meeting. Are we ready to do that?
I don't believe we are.
I don't think so either. So we'll just move that to the next month's agenda to talk about it in terms of September.
August meeting.
I mean August. Thank you. Yeah.
Madam Chair, I would like to say in regard to the fundraising, I'd like to ask if anyone on this call would like to join me in a subcommittee to talk about fundraising for affiliates.
Well, why don't we? Is there an email that folks who might become interested can reach you?
People should have my email if they're on the listserv.
Okay.
Tico for KPFA. I would be interested in that committee.
Okay.
Tico. Okay. Well,
yeah.
I will send out an email to the listserv asking for any others that might want to join us.
I'll help you with that, Teresa.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, then unless there is some burning point that we have not discussed or deferred, I would entertain.
Madam Chair, I would like to ask one question. I would like to ask the committee, is there any specific thing right now that people think should be on the agenda for July 10th?
Yes, I would like to ask Ursula to bring another affiliate on at the head of the meeting.
Okay, and of her choosing?
Sure.
Okay.
I didn't understand what you said, Fair.
Ursula will choose someone, will choose an affiliate to be a guest at the next meeting, as opposed to us suggesting someone. She will identify and invite someone.
I didn't hear Ursula acknowledge that she heard that request.
I heard it.
Okay, thank you.
If there's nothing else, then we'll adjourn at this time. And for the most of you, we'll meet again on July 10th at 8 o'clock for our regular meeting.
Thank you,
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you all. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.